It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
And you're listening to It's All About Food. Hello, and how are you today? We've got a great show coming up. I'm looking forward to both of my guests today. And, you know, this whole vegan thing, it's been going on for a long time. And what we talk about on It's All About Food is certainly food and how food affects our personal health, the health of the planet, and certainly the animals that we choose to either eat or not eat. And what's really wonderful is that we're gaining a lot of momentum. And people are thinking about vegans differently than they used to, and thinking about vegetarians differently than certainly when I got started. Seems like centuries ago. Maybe 30-some-odd years ago. And the thing that we find is that everyone's on a different journey. And we discover the vegetarian diet, the vegan diet, in a unique way. Each one of us, we react to it in a unique way. And some of us decide to eat this type of diet. Some of us choose not to, but each one of us has a very different life experience and a very different journey. And so our decisions to do certain things are different, and how we do things are different. Okay, difference is the theme here. But some people find changing diets very easy. Most people have challenges, and different people's stories and methods will resonate with certain people and not with others. And so that's the great thing about what's going on right now, because there are so many different vegetarian voices out there that are going to connect with certain people and help them move to a better place on the food continuum. And we've got one of them today. We're going to be talking to Sister Vegetarian, and we're going to be talking to Donna Bowdoin, or you could correct me if I didn't pronounce it correctly, but she's the author of a new book, Sister Vegetarian's 31 Days of Drama-Free Living. Welcome to It's All About Food, Donna.
Thank you, Karen. How are you doing?
Good. How do you say your last name?
Bowdoin.
Bowdoin. Okay. I'm like trying to make it French, you know, like Baudouin or something, and I get confused.
That's fine. Just call me Donna.
Okay. And I just realized when I made some posts on Facebook and Twitter today that I made it Sista Vegetarian and not Sister Vegetarian, because I was confusing it with Sista Vegan, and I apologize.
That's fine. I call myself Sister Vegetarian because I just see vegetarians and vegans as a part of the same family. We all want to get healthy. We want to save the environment. We want to save animals. So I thought of sister as I'm just a part of your family. I am your sister. I am your aunt. I'm like a mother figure. We're all part of the same family, so that's why I use the word sister.
Well, I like it because people may not realize it, but we are all one family on this planet.
Exactly.
We are all connected.
Mm-hmm.
All of our actions, however insignificant they may seem, are significant to everyone else on the planet. We breathe the same air.
Right.
It's really powerful. I was watching a Deepak Chopra video just this week, and he was talking about this concept, and it really was profound, down to the cellular level, how deeply connected we all are.
That is true, yes. and that's my book speaks to vegetarians and vegans alike. Mm-hmm. I start as a vegetarian and moved to a vegan, but it speaks to everyone in trying to help people to become a vegetarian or become a vegan. The recipes are vegan with a vegetarian twist, if that's what you want to be.
With a vegetarian twist, okay. Or a vegan twist.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little lemon or lime.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. The challenge. People have a hard time on diets, period. And I'm mm-hmm. always saying it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle, or at least this particular path.
I agree.
And that's part of the secret to having mm-hmm. stability and success. When it's not something you're going to do for a short time to lose a few pounds, it becomes your life.
It is a part of your life. It's a journey.
But
it is a lifetime journey.
But as you mentioned throughout the book, there's all this drama.
It is. And some people go to being a vegetarian or vegan easily, and some don't. And it's based upon my experiences alone, not being a medical physician in a medical field. I base it on my experiences and talking to a lot of people. And we go through different types of societal myths and things we hear maybe among friends or family or work, that maybe we start out being a vegetarian or vegan and good intentions, and we hear that little buzz in the ear, and then we stop. I mentioned in the book, you know, someone was a vegan for 6 years, and then they just couldn't deal with all the emotional things going around them, and then they just stopped being a vegan. So my book is addressing all the drama that we come across, because I realize it's so many cookbooks out there and how to be a vegetarian and you know, eating vegetarian or vegan, but nothing really addresses the societal myths or the drama we come across with friends and family and coworkers and just society alone. And it's just out there to address it, to help you to become strong. Because in the book, in the beginning of the book, I mentioned that you have to have a strong will. You have to have a strong mind. And that's what you really need along in this journey.
Well, don't you need
that
to succeed in everything?
Exactly.
People, I think that's what I hear about most, the societal mm-hmm. pressures that people mm-hmm. have. But
right.
I'm continually thinking that it's not necessarily the diet or this mm-hmm. this lifestyle that's really the issue. It just sort of brings out or magnifies mm-hmm. everything going on in someone's life. And so if there mm-hmm. are issues with a relationship or with a family or with a coworker, this is just an opportunity
mm-hmm.
to make it worse or bring it out, bring it
exactly.
to a head.
Yeah, I mean, the recipes of being a vegetarian or vegan are wonderful. I never hear anyone complain about eating the foods. It's always just the little issues they have to deal with, and maybe being the only person that they know who's a vegetarian or vegan. So that's why I came up with 30 days of trying to help people through the different situations that they may come across. Because as I said, if we need to have strong minds and know that we can do this and we can get over the mountain, we can climb up and just be on the top of the mountain shining, I am here forever. I am a vegetarian vegan forever.
Woo!
Without changing, just because some person buzzed into our ear. So I wanted to make people strong, men and women strong, in being a vegetarian or vegan.
Well,
you know, they can dust themselves off. Just, you know, everyone falls down. But, you know, you got to know that you have to get right back up. Dust yourself off and get right back up and keep walking.
This is a positive, motivational book. It's disguised as a vegetarian journey.
Mm-hmm.
But it really is.
Yes.
Something that we should apply to everything, kind of re-scripting those crazy voices in our heads.
Exactly. And toward the end of the book, I give like 10 energy bars, I call it.
I like that.
You know, powerful tips to help you along your way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very good. You know, you might even market them as in the shape of an energy bar.
Exactly.
People can put them in their wallet when they want to eat something. No, read
exactly.
One of these.
Exactly. Yeah, and I thought of energy bars because, you know, I ran races and, you know, I mean, my husband hike, and energy bars give us energy in between the meals. And I'm thinking, you know what, we need some energy, just little tidbits of energy to keep us going through the day in between our meals. And that's how I came out with those 10 energy bars, or 10 powerful points to get us started.
Can you remember, or did you have particularly difficult social situations, either with your family or at work, that you might share?
Just being the only vegetarian initially, mainly at work. So it's kind of difficult initially, and then I started to convert maybe two people at work, and people starting to realize, like, hey, this is a wonderful lifestyle. I think my family was more accepting. My husband, it took a while, and he was very supportive, though, and now he's a vegetarian himself.
I was going to ask you that because that wasn't clear in the book, but yeah.
Yeah, he's a vegetarian now. He became one in June.
Congratulations. Tell him I congratulate him.
So he is very supportive, but I think it was more so that the outside, because you spend a lot of time outside the home and work situations and in other type of groups, and you get more pressure from there.
Yeah, but I think it's the hardest in a relationship if you're not eating similarly, because eating is such an important event every day.
It is very important.
And when you're in a relationship sharing, that's like such a great way to share.
That's true. And initially, before he became vegetarian, we were cooking two different meals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it got kind of hard sometimes. And a lot of people ask me, well, if your spouse is not a vegetarian and you are, how do you work that out? But, I mean, you still eat together. You still cook together. I mean, it can be done. A lot of people don't want to become a vegetarian vegan if their spouse or significant other is not. And I say, go for it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would like to wait for that other person. But if you do it, that other person will more than likely follow lead also. You have to be the person to start it.
Yeah, and I think it... What I'm onto something here, and it's not coming out, but I think you can definitely get on a vegetarian path, and if your partner isn't interested, you can ultimately prepare one meal, but the other person who isn't interested in being vegetarian can add the animal products.
That's true.
Like, you can always grate cheese on top of anything.
Exactly.
And you can crumble in or put some grilled chicken on top of anything, and you can ultimately eat the same thing.
That is true, and I find that with me and my husband. He's a vegetarian, I'm a vegan, so, you know, we'll have maybe, let's say, I'll put something out easy like a pasta dish, and he maybe will, on his plate, grate cheese. And I will probably have nutritional yeast maybe on top of mine.
Right.
But that's true. You can add little things.
Yeah, I lived in France in the early 90s, and I used to make a lot of vegan dishes, and that's cheese country, and many of my friends, before even eating, try what I would offer. They were just grating all the cheese all over it. Okay, fine.
Exactly. I used to be a cheese nut, too. That was one thing that was hard to give up, in switching from vegetarian to vegan, and it's hard for a lot of vegetarians to give up.
It's addicting.
It is addicting, yes.
Oh, well, I mean, there's a lot of evidence now that shows that it does stuff in our brains that has addictive properties.
Exactly. And you know what? I felt so much lighter and just so, I don't know the word for it, but just on top of the mountain when I gave up the cheese and just became a vegan, just felt so much more alive.
Well, you're tiny. And I caught some of your videos on YouTube, and you can really see how fit and trim and slim you are.
Thank you. And it didn't start that way.
Well, that's what you describe in the book. So,
yes, I was always small, and then I would say when I hit 40, about 5 years ago, I started to gain weight. In 3 years, I went from a size 4 to a size 14.
Woo!
And couldn't figure out what was wrong. I started to have a lot of stomach problems, too. And I would say probably even before that, within a 10-year period, I was hospitalized 4 times for stomach problems. Doctors couldn't find anything wrong with me, so I put matters in my own hands. Last time I was sick, I just said, you know what, I'm just going to do it myself. I gave up meat. I became a vegetarian. It was actually more so probably 90% vegan I was eating.
Mm-hmm.
And all my stomach problems of over 10 years disappeared. My weight dropped immediately. That's why I said it's not a diet, it's a lifestyle change. I didn't even do it to drop weight. It just ended up dropping.
Mm-hmm.
And my stomach problems stopped. And I went from a size 14 to a size 4. I always did love to hike and exercise, and I never had back pains until I started to get heavy. I no longer have back pains or stomach pains. I mean, it was just great.
It's magic.
Yeah, it healed my body, yeah. It was great.
One of the things that people often talk about about losing weight is making smaller portions and eating less, and
mm-hmm.
I scream when I hear this,
mm-hmm.
because it's hard for people to do that and
mm-hmm.
to feel unsatisfied, not feel full. And yet when you're eating correctly,
mm-hmm.
when I look at the plates of food that I eat, it's ridiculous. I can't get a bowl that's big enough sometimes for
exactly.
the salad or the soups that I eat.
Exactly, yeah. And people can't believe how much I eat, but yet won't gain the weight because I'm eating healthy foods and my body is being provided with nutrients and healthy foods that is just helped me to sustain my weight at what it should be.
Whole minimally processed foods are
exactly.
filled with fiber,
mm-hmm.
especially when they're raw. They're filled with water.
Exactly.
And that makes the belly feel full, and and it makes the brain satisfied because you're getting the vitamins and nutrients that you need.
That's true. And I eat a lot of raw foods. I incorporate raw foods in my my meals every day, usually in a lot of greens. I eat a lot of raw greens, collard greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, beet greens. I eat a lot of raw greens every day, rather as a part of a lunch stuffed in a wrap or a salad. Sometimes I'll make a raw vegan lasagna or a raw vegan pesto where I make the pesto.
I like the mustard green pesto recipe in your book.
Thank you. And sometimes I'll put the mustard green pesto on top of shredded raw collard greens.
Mm-hmm.
Where the collard greens act as a more like a pasta instead of using a pasta.
Right. Well, they have a good chew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't say enough about eating greens. I really think
exactly.
that's the secret to life.
It is. And like I said, I'm not a physician, but I tell you, I have not been sick in 3 years since I switched from being eating meat to being a vegetarian, now vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a flu shot in my life. And in 3 years, I haven't had any colds, flus, nothing.
That's pretty
Nothing
good.
Nothing whatsoever. I don't even take supplements or vitamins. So it's something about living a plant-based diet.
Now, you live in North Carolina.
I do, yes.
Right. And there's a lot of problems in North Carolina. There's a wide range of lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. It is, yes.
From rich, very rich to very poor,
mm-hmm.
and lots in the middle. And
mm-hmm.
There are areas that are called food deserts,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of animal agriculture that goes on there.
It is,
most
yes.
of it's hidden
mm-hmm.
to the public. It's a very interesting place. It's got a lot of things going on.
It does, and slowly the vegetarian vegan community is rising, mainly in the Durham, Chapel Hill, Raleigh area, and Asheville area also, which is toward the mountains. Still got a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're not similar to the communities more up north, maybe above Virginia, but we do have a lot of ways to go. North Carolina is still more so, I would say, the rib capital. They still love their ribs and barbecue meat.
Yeah.
But we're working on it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of,
mm-hmm.
a lot going on there. And, well, so one of the problems that people have, if they want to eat better,
mm-hmm.
some people are in neighborhoods where it's really hard to access food.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think you even Did you mention something like that in the beginning of the book? I think I was reading where you were buying from a store near where you worked and not
my,
in your...
one of my local stores near my home.
Oh, now I remember what it was. You... Why don't you tell me?
They did not have a great selection of, I would say, vegetarian and vegan products, and the produce was good, but they need a little bit more. And they used to have, actually still have it, it's called Talk to, I won't say the grocery store name, but it was Talk to That Grocery Store. You email them after your grocery experience and rate them and give comments. And the next week, I would go into the store, it's like, wow, they added this. And I remember I mentioned in my email. And then I email again because I would give them positive feedback also. My husband and I have been shopping at that store for years. And I give positive feedback on the staff also, but another week I mentioned something and they have something else there.
Nice.
So the grocery stores do listen to you. So if you're in that food desert area, don't think the stores will not listen to you. They will. Email them, call them on the phone, talk to the manager in person. They will listen. Don't think they won't. You should have what you want to have in that store. They're servicing you. You're not servicing them.
There's so many good points there. It's so important for us to act as individuals because we do matter and everything that we do.
That's correct.
Makes a difference. And just by simply asking, ask and you shall receive.
Exactly. Exactly. And a great thing is, it's so funny after... you know, commenting all the time. The manager even posted something that to the staff to say, hey, people are commenting on the email about the store. You know, keep up the good work. So they do listen. The stores do listen.
That's nice. Okay, so we have, I don't know, about 8 more minutes. And one of the things... about the recipes in your book. They're really very straightforward. They're pretty easy. It's, you know, a really good beginning for diving in here. It's based on beans and vegetables and spices. All of this stuff is really flavorful.
And I love world recipes, and I wanted to just put a lot of recipes in there that I enjoy and people throughout the world eat. There are many countries that are vegetarian-based, and I put these recipes in here to make it not so hard. As a working person myself, I know how hard it is to work all day and want to come home and cook a nice meal for your family. But a meal that, you know, you both can and everyone in the family can just sit down and talk and enjoy. So, you know, I have... Ethiopian dish there that is easy to make when you come home from work that's less than 60 minutes. You can have it on your table right away and with leftovers. So it's just meals that everyone can enjoy and introduces you to the world of vegetarian or vegan.
I was in, where was it, last year I went to Argentina, Buenos Aires, and I was in, I was always looking for the veggie healthy places, and I was in one, I think it was like a Mediterranean restaurant, and I ordered hummus, and I ate a lot of hummus, and it tasted okay, but it tasted different. And then I realized it had peanut butter in it, not tahini. And I had never had that before, and then I kind of chuckled because you mentioned in your book if you can't find or don't have tahini, you can use peanut butter, and you certainly can. But you should know. Because if you're expecting one and getting the other, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, it is a different taste. And then a lot of places do not have tahini, especially in the south part of the south. It is hard to find, but you can find it. So that's a good substitute to use. And then also, I love hummus. I tend to make it every week. And I also let people know that experiment with hummus. Do different things. Just don't do the basics. I love to experiment in making food. So one time I put beets in it. And, oh, my God, it turned out perfect. It was beets with a little vegan smoke sauce, and it was creamy. It was great. Another time I tried adding some raisins, gave it a little sweetness to it. Just experiment with hummus. Have fun with it.
Well, you can experiment just with the basic hummus, which
exactly.
is at a base of garbanzo beans, chickpeas, or you could use other beans, too.
Exactly,
and
you
then,
can.
So
mm-hmm.
it's the idea is that it's a bean,
mm-hmm.
a fat, and some flavorings.
Exactly. I have used navy beans, red beans to make hummus, black beans. You can experiment so many different beans.
And then, so what's great about it is, I mean, just, it's so versatile, people don't even realize how simple the variety can be. So it can be a great spread on a sandwich,
mm-hmm.
and the variations are infinite based on the beans that you use, the spices
exactly.
you use, the fats
mm-hmm.
that you use, or no fat. I mean, some people just like to make a garbanzo bean seasoned
exactly.
mash.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You could,
and sometimes I do it as a spread on one of my vegan sandwiches. I'll grill a portobello mushroom and use it as a spread.
Right. Instead of like a mayonnaise or something, you could use
mm-hmm.
this flavored bean spread.
Mm-hmm.
There's just, it's infinite. Or you could thin it a little bit more, and then it becomes a dip or a dressing.
It does. Exactly.
And it's
you
crazy.
Make me hungry, girl.
Oh, and then, or it could be even as is, like a pâté or something.
Exactly,
so,
yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm nuts over beans, or beans over nuts, or something.
I am too, I am too. You can't catch me without some type of bean stew on my stove, usually on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Well, I don't know what it's like in North Carolina, but mm-hmm. here in New York City, the greatest city in the world,
mm-hmm.
we have everything and more.
You do, yes. I grew up in North New Jersey.
Right.
Yes.
There you go. And mm-hmm. because there are so many different cultures here,
mm-hmm.
there are so many different stores with different foods. And one of my favorites is this Indian store in Queens in Flushing, the Chinatown
mm-hmm.
in Flushing. And
there
are so many beans that I don't even know if I'll ever get to try them all. They're different
yeah.
sizes, color, shapes. They all have different subtle flavor
exactly.
and texture differences. It's a celebration.
It's wonderful, yes. I love it. I love it. I love finding new variety of beans and trying them out. It's great.
Yeah, and the other thing is
yes.
the colors are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. They're beautiful, yes.
And we have glass jars, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, we don't have a lot of cupboard space, and so they're
mm-hmm.
out on display in glass
mm-hmm.
jars, and they're just lovely, yellow and
they
orange
are.
And
yeah.
pink. And
that's true. The cranberry beans are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The azuki beans, oh, my gosh, yes. Like I said, you're making me hungry here.
Yeah, so you know,
put a pot of bean soup on her.
And you compare that with a burger on white
mm-hmm.
bread, and it's kind of that gray brown food.
Mhm. Exactly. Yeah. And I love just putting varieties in my beans, such as in the stews. I use a lot of greens, different varieties of greens in a stew just to thicken it. So yeah, it's great.
Right. Okay, we have just a couple of minutes left. So you mentioned you're eating more raw food. I think I read somewhere you're becoming certified as a raw food.
I just finished a certification in raw food, and the purpose was mainly because I do eat probably about 50% or more raw food a week. And just to show vegetarians and vegans to try to incorporate
mm-hmm.
raw foods, such as raw greens, into their meals, either on a daily basis or every other day in some part of their meal, just for added nutritional benefit. Because, like I said, I'm not a physician, but I tell you, in 3 years, in just eating vegan and some of the raw meals, I really have kept food, colds and flus at bay. I haven't caught anything. So it really does help us to stay healthy.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Donna. Thanks for writing
mm-hmm.
Sister Vegetarians, 31
thank
Days
you.
Of Drama-Free Living.
Thank you, Karen. Yes,
and
thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And keep doing it. You're helping so many people.
Thank you so much, and thank you for everyone for supporting me, reading my blog, and
what is
buying
that blog,
the book.
Sister Vegetarian?
It's sistervegetarian.com, or you can go on the blog directly, sistervegetarian.blogspot.com.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen. You have a great and beautiful day.
You too. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food. We're going to take a quick break and be back with Sticky Finger Sweets, Doron Peterson. We'll be right back. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Okay, now we come to the real yummy part of the show, and we're going to be talking to Darone Peterson, who is the owner of Sticky Fingers Bakery and has a great, delicious new book out called Sticky Fingers Sweets, 100 Super Secret Vegan Recipes. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, do we have someone else on the show with us?
This is Doran Peterson.
Yeah, I know. It sounded like it was a dog that was joining us.
No, those are probably just our very loud refrigerators behind me. I'm actually in the shop today.
Oh, great. Okay, well, thank you. So I'm real excited to be talking about you. I love your new book. Beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you're enjoying it.
Yeah, and we love stories like yours. So, well, you know, this whole vegan thing, there are so many of us that have been vegan for a while, or some people that are new to it, and we love success, we love great food, and so when somebody does it and does it right and gets some recognition, you've got this whole happy army behind you.
Oh my goodness, well thank you so much, that's so sweet.
Well,
I love all of those things too, food, success, sweets, fun.
Yeah, you know, I have our website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and I post a lot of different recipes up there, healthy food and all kinds of things, but whenever I post the treats, that's what gets the most traffic.
Yes, I'd say that we've definitely gotten most of our attention for our sweets over the years. That has been the strongest part of our business. It's the part that keeps growing and growing and growing. And while our sandwiches are super fun and, you know, coffee is always a must, our sweets just really pull people in the door. I mean, you can't resist looking at a cupcake or a cookie and not falling in love.
Yeah. Well, I'm always promoting healthy food because I want vegans to be models for the world, because I'm coming from a place where I believe vegan food is the ideal for the environment, for health, for animals, and I want us to be glowing and beautiful and strong and living long, healthy lives so that everybody else wants to come along.
Absolutely. We completely agree. And we think everybody should start their healthy day with a good dose of enjoyable dessert. I mean, there's nothing better than eating food that you absolutely enjoy that's really fun and is also better for you.
That's right. Now, one of the things on your bakery website that I love is that you have all the ingredients for all of your products.
Yes, we cater to everyone, and we want to make sure that everybody knows what is going into their mouths and their bodies. And so if we have people that are concerned about one ingredient or another, or trying to avoid an ingredient for a sensitivity or an allergy, we want to make sure that they can do that easily. But also we want to show people how simple and how straightforward our ingredients are, and there are no scary ingredients. There's not a ton of preservatives and things that you can't pronounce. It's straightforward food.
Yeah, I was reading it, and I'm just going to reiterate everything you just said because it's important. I think more companies are starting to learn that it's important to divulge this information because so many people have food issues, and vegans can be really militant, you know, when they want to know what's in their food. So it's smart to just make it easy and have it out there. I know I've been to so many places, and when I ask the servers, do you know what's in this? And they look so dumbfounded, like, what? You know, it's a piece of cake. What do you mean, what's in it?
Right.
So it's really important. And then I was also really thrilled to see how clean your desserts are. The same ingredients I use when I bake, pretty much.
Yes, that's exactly, that is our entire kind of message that we want to send by putting out all of our ingredients out there, as well as having the book available for folks as well. So you can see what we're using. We're not talking about a lot of intricate, detailed ingredients. We're talking about flour and sugar and different fat sources to develop the texture and the flavor, and also your frosting, excuse me, and fresh fruits and chocolate, you know, it's real food.
Okay, now you are the winner of the cupcake wars.
True.
Can you tell us a little bit about how that all started? I mean, it's just such a great story, and I'm so glad you're the winner.
Yeah, we've actually, you know, tooting my own horn over here, we've actually won twice. We went on once and won up against one other vegan and two other traditional style bakers. And we went back a second time, didn't do so well, went back a third time, and won against three traditional bakers who were also previous winners. So we're the first vegans to win the All-Stars of the Cupcake Wars, and we're very proud of that. And I, any chance I get, I do have to tout our horn, because it's just, it's such a fun thing to be able to talk to people about. I mean, it's the Food Network too. It's super fun.
I'm right.
So,
well,
you know,
are they going to do something good with you at the Food Network? We're all clamoring. Who's going to get the first vegan food show on the Food Network?
I have no idea. I mean, unless, you know, Rachel Ray or Guy Fieri is going to go vegan anytime soon. I think they're going to have a tough run. But I'm open to any ideas or suggestions anyone has.
Now, are you expanding the bakery? Is it going to go franchise or chain? Are you going to stay small? What's your plan?
Oh, well, right now we're focusing on our wholesale. Hold on one second. Let me see if I can clear up this bad connection. Okay, is that a little bit better?
That sounds like, yeah, that does.
Okay. Right now we're working on extending our wholesale. We have partnered with a facility who has been doing wholesale for years and years and years, and we are now producing our Sticky Fingers products for the Mid-Atlantic region, for Whole Foods, and for other natural food stores. And we're really working on growing that right now. We have cakes and cupcakes and brownies and cookies, and that's really been a fun way to try and reach all of our fans and new fans and customers. As far as expanding the actual individual shop, I'm open to just about anything as far as what the future holds for Sticky Fingers. I haven't signed a lease on a new place yet, but you know, it definitely is a lot of work to keep a business up and running. We have 26 employees here on any given day.
Wow.
And a lot of product to move in and out of the bakery, and a lot of people to keep happy. So there's nothing set in stone.
Okay, I liked reading about the Korean company that came along and wanted to model your store.
Yeah, that was really fun. That happened in 2005 as a result of a friend of ours being on kind of a 60-minute style Korean TV show, documentary show.
Mm-hmm.
And she came into our store while the crew was filming her, and somebody saw the show down the line and thought that it would be an interesting addition to Korean food cuisine. And it was doing really well. Last time I checked, we went there and opened it, and they have a kind of free will to expand as they see fit for their environment.
Sure. I wish it had been there when I spent some time in Korea. I was there a lot doing some engineering work back in 1999 and 2000. And and I know that the country has changed so much in the last 10 years. I read about all kinds of things, and a lot of it's really great. But there were a few vegan restaurants, and one of them I salivate to go back to.
Oh, wow.
But I wish the bakery had been there.
Yeah, we had such a great time while we were there. It opened up just a whole new world of eating to us. Definitely, we were blessed by having people with us who could navigate the menus for us to make sure that we were not eating any animals by mistake. But we had such a great time with the tofu houses and the porridge and the Buddhist temples where we could go and get 6-course meals of pure vegan goodness. And oh my gosh, it was
amazing. One restaurant I went to, and I probably ate there like 3 or 4 times a week, but they would put out 25 different dishes, and it costs like nothing. And I'm like a plate cleaner, and so I would work at one thing at a time and clean it up and then work on the next one. And I didn't realize there were a few dishes that they kept replenishing. And so I can get you in trouble. Yeah, but it was all really
next
good.
Next thing you know, you've had like 45 servings of bean
kimchi.
Sprouts and sesame seeds. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you're definitely one of the queen of vegan desserts here.
Well, I love that term, and if that's what you're going to deem me, I accept.
Let's back up a bit and get some history from you, like how it all began.
Sure. Right around 1995, I became vegetarian after working with a veterinarian. I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian. And I was, I got to witness a surgery and saw the inside of a dog and noticed how it looked a lot like chicken. And the musculature was a little bit too familiar to what I had been eating the night before. So that kind of changed the way that I looked at my meat and animals, and it's been all a vegan journey since then. I soon went vegan after that and became really interested in the nutrition aspect and the health aspect of being vegan and making sure that a vegan diet was done healthfully and safely. You know, so many people always try and scare you about the B12 and the protein, and I wanted to make sure that I was not going to be one of those people. So I fell in love with the nutrition aspect, which is where I ended up going to school at University of Maryland, which is where I took some food science classes, and lo and behold, found out about the whole science behind baking and the fascinating aspects of building recipes based on the science rather than simply what each ingredient can do. So that is where I started to look outside of traditional baking and think we could do this. And I was really hungry for some really good
food. Well, I think having good vegan treats is what really opens the door for so many people, because they think, I can't do this because I'm going to be deprived and I'm not going to be have all those favorite comforting things. And we know that's not true.
Absolutely. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to make sure that you can become vegan without missing out on any of the things that you remember, like cookies and cupcakes and cakes and...
Now,
loads and loads of sweet stuff.
Unfortunately, people are having more and more food sensitivities, and I'm not really sure where this is all coming from, if it's because the quality of our food is changing, or maybe something's happened over the hundreds of years of natural selection, who knows, that's tripping with our DNA, I don't know, but... More and more people have wheat sensitivities and allergies and celiac disease. It's scary.
Yeah.
And there's soy issues, and certain people have their own peculiar allergies, some I've never even heard of. Where does that fit into your bakery scenario? Do you have some recipes that are accommodating to sensitive eaters?
Absolutely, we do. We have gluten-free, wheat-free items available. We have some soy-free available, though the Earth Balance products that we are able to get for our store do have soy in them, but the individual size items, you can definitely get soy-free. So when you're baking stuff at home, you can easily convert to a soy-free option.
Yeah, it's all in the chemistry. And I'm a believer that there's a lot of great gluten-free treats that can be made once you figure out the chemistry.
Yeah, we play it very safe here, and we make sure that the items that we have available gluten-free are and that are very easy to do. So our, like, chocolate cupcakes with our chocolate frosting and our chocolate... and, of course, we're exploring every day. But still, dairy and eggs tend to be the higher and more dangerous of the allergies that are out there and seen more prevalently in younger kids, especially.
Now, you definitely had some great success with your bakery and the Cupcake Wars and your book that's coming out. How has your family responded to your lifestyle?
Like my husband and my baby. We just adopted our first son in September, so that was right around when all this stuff was developing and while we were working on Cupcake Wars and finishing up the book. And so it's been an absolute crazy time, and my husband is such a sweetheart. He's just a great dad and a great support system, and is just really having fun watching all of our hard work blossom. It's just been amazing jumping in and taking over where I can't.
Yeah. How old's your son?
He's 7 months old.
Oh, and what do you, well, right now, what is he eating?
Well, let's see. Last night he had peas. He had pureed peas for dinner. And we had some zucchini. we had some organic Earthfest soy formula. What else did we eat? We ate a frozen washcloth for our teeth. And a couple of, you know, we may have found a couple dog toys on the floor, too.
That's great. Well, it should really be an interesting journey. Feeding children is interesting.
Fun.
Definitely fun. They're more, these early years are so critical, and so many people don't realize what an important thing it is to get your child trained on good foods, develop their taste buds for good foods early on.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're a big believer in feed real food. So, you know, we follow the rules as far as making sure that there are no allergies or sensitivities and spreading out the types of foods that we do. Man, he's already eaten lentil soup and baked tofu and black beans. He really enjoys onions. Not traditional for a little baby, but, you know, it's important to get all those spices in there and vary that palate.
Now, there's a bunch of different people out today with vegan cookbooks. There's so many of them. I'm just overwhelmed how many new ones are coming out, which is really inspiring, which means that the market is growing.
Yeah.
And that's good. And there's a number of different vegan bakers out there. Do you connect at all with some of the other ones? There's like this great little community happening of...
Yeah, I think it's exactly that. It's a community. I think the more that we work together and support each other to continue creating wonderful desserts, it's just going to be a better food world in vegan cuisine. And absolutely, we work when I say work together, there are definitely people that I'm in contact with that I work with regularly, looking at their recipes and building off of their items, but also just people that are food blogging about the stuff that they're making in their kitchen. That's really an inspiration for us and gives us ideas every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, the pictures for your treats are really, really lovely. It looks like you put a little art into what you're making. You don't just make them taste good, and I like that.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun with the photos. Melissa Nyman is an amazing photographer, and then Jenny Webb and I, Jenny who is on Cupcake Wars, and I did all the photo styling right here in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Okay. What else do I want to talk about before I let you go? Do you have any favorites?
My absolute favorite cake and cupcake is our almond cream. Our coconut cream, and then second is our almond cream. I'm looking at them in the case right now, and they're side by side, and I think I want to combine them and eat one and eat them as one. The coconut cake is my absolute favorite. Almond cream is very close second. But really, I like everything.
Of course.
I eat everything.
Yes, and I'm sure the cravings change from time to time, where sometimes you want... I'm looking at a coffee cake here or chocolate
Ramon is in the kitchen right now working on some cherry inspired items for the Cherry Blossom Festival coming up soon. So that's going to be a fun time and some fun desserts.
And you're in Maryland?
We are in Washington, D.C., 1370 Park Road, Washington, D.C., Columbia Heights. We're about, 3 miles from the Capital.
Right, that's a pretty hip place. I can see why you're doing well there. Yeah,
it's fun.
There's a good growing vegan community there.
Yeah, we call it the vegan bubble. Everywhere you go, there's something vegan and there's someone vegan.
Your name, Doron, is that how it's pronounced?
That's one of the ways.
How do you say it?
I say Doron.
Doron.
Like Doron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure where the origin is of your name, but I know other people that are named Doron, and it means gift.
Yes, that is what we found as a derivative.
Yeah.
However, my mother swears that it is a Greek derivative, though I've only seen it as a Hebrew derivative.
Right.
I'll take what I can get, as long as, you know, it's a good name. I like it.
Well, I like it, and I think that you definitely are a gift.
Oh, my goodness, thank you.
That's what I was leading up to anyway. I mean, anybody that's giving the world these great, and we love cupcakes.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, thank you so much for building this platform for us. It's
yeah.
a wonderful way to offer our information to tons of other people that really care about their bodies and their food.
Right. Well, yeah. And I just can't say it enough. This is all I talk about day in and day out. But you can have your cake. You can eat it, too. It doesn't have to harm anybody.
True.
There's no reason to use milk from tortured cows. There's no reason to use eggs from battery hens. It's just not necessary. And you're proving it day in and day out.
Yes, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. We've been here for 10 years, and we've been doing it successfully every day. And come and try it.
Right. So that's why you're not just a gift to humans, but you're a gift to the animals, too.
Oh, well.
Okay,
you know,
so you, so it's Doran.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to say that right now. Doran, thank you so much for spending some time with me on It's All About Food.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
And I hope to get to Washington, D.C. and definitely load up on some of your treats. But if I can't get there, I can get them online, right?
You can get them online. We'll happily send you your cupcakes or your cookies or your brownies.
Oh, look at that. Problem solved. The website is?
StickyFingersBakery.com.
StickyFingersBakery.com. Thank you. I wish you a lot of luck with your new cookbook.
Thank you so much.
And,
have a great day.
Yeah. And I hope the Food Network grabs you soon.
Oh, me too.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Doran Peterson, the owner of Sticky Fingers Sweets Bakery. And she has this gorgeous new cookbook out, Sticky Fingers Sweets, 100 Super Secret Vegan Recipes. But they're not secret because they're all in this book. And I just want to highlight a little bit here of what I was just talking about. There's 60 billion or so, give or take a few, land animals that are grown every year, mostly in factory farms, in confined, filthy, horrific conditions. And many of them are chickens either for laying eggs or chickens for meat. And we know more and more that this isn't necessary. We don't need these animals for any nutrients. We can get all of our nutrition from whole plant foods, all of them. And we don't need the cholesterol that these animal foods give us. We don't need the saturated fat. We don't need the acidic animal protein. We don't need animals for our food. And when it comes to heavenly baked treats, we don't need milk. There are so many different non-dairy milk options out today, and they're everywhere. I see them in all the stores, not even health food stores anymore. There's soy milk of every flavor, unsweetened, sweetened, vanilla, chocolate, eggnog, and then you have rice milk and hemp milk and oat milk. You can make it at home yourself. You can buy it in the store. There's no need to consume the bodily fluids of another animal. No other mammal consumes its own milk as an adult. Just think about that. The only mammals that consume milk as an adult are the domesticated ones where we pour some milk in a bowl for them to eat. It's not natural. And we know that there are so many health effects that are not good for us that are linked to dairy consumption. Eggs, the eggs that are grown in factory farms with hens that barely see the light of day, they're de-beaked, they're crammed into these cages where they have no room to move. They're fed all kinds of garbage, literally. They live in their own excrement. and they lay eggs, and those eggs are laced with what? E. coli? Salmonella? Who needs that? We don't need eggs. There are so many wonderful, nutritious plant foods that can give the properties that we want from eggs. If you want a binder in a baked good, there are different choices. There's a number of different starches out there, cornstarch and arrowroot, potato starch, tapioca starch. You can buy Energy Egg Replacer, which is a combination of starches. It works really nicely. I love using ground flax seeds. You can use the golden version ground up, and you usually don't see them in the baked good, like a light flour cookie or a bread. Or you can use the brown flax seeds, and they're nice too, but they'll give you a little brown fleck in your baked product. Applesauce works well. Bananas work. Depends on what you want to achieve. And then you can make all kinds of egg products, like scrambled eggs with tofu. It's endless. We do not need to exploit and torture at all. And there we go. So you've been listening to me, Karen Hartglass, and I invite you to visit responsibleeatingandliving.com. Lots of great recipes up there. And that's all for this week. Thank you for joining me. Have a really delicious one, and have a cupcake, a vegan one. Why not? Have a great week. Mm-hmm.